The Carmen and Yurko podcast is brought to you by Vitacost.com. Vitacost.com is a trusted brand for all your discount vitamins, supplements, health foods, and beauty products. Use promo code CARMEN15 for 15% off your entire order at Vitacost.com.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko
on Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000. Don't miss a minute of Carmen and Yurko. Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Packers happy to have him wrapped up long-term. That four-year extension that he signed this spring. Says Green Bay's become home. He's got the ball here. He surges through the hole and explodes across the 40. Still going near midfield for Aaron Jones. Play action again. Rodgers given all day. Underneath again, Jones. A stiff arm to get free. Aaron Jones into the end zone. Touchdown. Boy, just threw Gibson off him and then accelerated for the score. Second down and 10. Bears try to collapse that pocket. Rodgers has Adams wide open. He stays on his feet. Down the sideline. Devontae Adams is in. Touchdown, Green Bay. And now one of the officials runs up. They come together. And they're going to say that he was out back at the 21. Rodgers snaps it quick. Pressure coming. Scrambles to his right. Pumps and runs. Aaron Rodgers is inside the pylon. Touchdown, Packers. It's Rodgers running for the score.
One highlight and then the rest of the lowlights, I guess you'd say, from Fox yesterday. It's Carmen and Yurko. Hope everyone had a wonderful weekend. We got a beautiful autumnal Monday talking about the Bears, the Packers, week six in the NFL. We got to go around the league a little bit this hour. We're going to take your phone calls. No guests on Mondays for us. We talk Bears, talk to football fans.
So, talk NFL.
312-332. Someone from the sky pops on today, right?
What?
Unless someone from the sky pops on today.
Well, if Candace Parker, you can get Candace Parker on, do it.
Okay.
Hey, we're both from Naperville. She should want to come on. I watched her brother. Her brother was, Anthony Parker was a year older than me, right. 93. I mean, and I went to Naperville North. He started Central. And then Candace did a few years late. How old's Candace, I wonder? I'm going to say a couple years younger than me.
I think she's like 35, 36.
Well, is she that much younger? Man.
Yeah, a lot younger than
you.
Well,
do you think she's a professional basketball player?
Yeah, that's
she's
true. Good
like,
point.
Taurasi's 39.
Anthony Parker was a year older than me. He was so good in high school. I mean, as you can imagine, he had a nice... I mean, Anthony Parker probably ended up playing a good 10 years professionally between
she's
overseas
35.
And the NBA. 35? Yeah. So, come on. I would talk to Candace Parker for sure. 312-332-3776 is the number. You know, I was giving Waddle some credit as, you know, Yurk and Waddle can look at football and know, they know things. They can see things. They break it down. And on the text chain, and I know it's too far to go back in our big group chain, and especially on Sundays, there's so much texting that happens. But Waddle, like after the first two, so the first two Packers drives, punt, right? What'd they have, 30 yards on the first two drives or something like that?
Yeah,
combined?
About that, yeah.
Right? It was nine plays, I think.
The Bears early on had like 80-some odd yards, yeah. 90 yards, 40-some in passing, 40-some in rushing.
Yeah, and so after their
balance.
Second punt, Waddle said something about, he goes, "Green, this ain't going to work. It's not going to fly for Green Bay. They're going to have to change up technically this, this, and this because the Bears are going to eat him alive up front, and then the center got hurt, you know.
Right.
And guess what the Packers did? Like, almost on cue. I mean, Waddle sitting at home as a former player, he sees it. That, like, on cue. And Waddle sent us something from Big Z's 10 Things in the Tribune this morning, a quote from Matt LaFleur. Early on, we tried a lot more outside zone, Coach Matt LaFleur said, and that wasn't working too well. Then we start. Hold on, I lost my place. I'm sorry. I'm reading this off my phone. Yeah, and that wasn't working too well. Then we started to go a little bit more downhill. We seemed to have more success with that. We kind of shifted, I'd say, mid-game. But, you know, that's a credit to their defense. I mean, that defense is one of the best in the NFL. It's tough to run against. It's tough to throw against. That was from LaFleur. So he talks post-game about changing things up, changing their scheme a little bit. They ended up running 31 times. Aaron Rodgers was definitely going quick, about three and out most of the times when they were looking to pass. They diagram a play early on in the second half where the Packers had a favorable matchup against a nickel look, and they gashed the Bears. And that was the story of the game. A coaching staff that does know how to change on the fly.
One of the plays that kind of got stung with, they came out in like the Bear look. Remember the 46 look? They had the three guys covered in the middle, you know, outside eyes of the guards, and they had a man on the nose. And it looked like they slanted. And then Bilal Nichols just got washed. You can't get washed. Hmm. You know, you start to move in a direction on a slant, and then they just keep taking you and go, go, go. Remember, at some point, you've got to make a stand, or sometime you got to throw the guy by you.
Can we go find that play on the NFL Game Pass, and you can break it down for us? We need to do more of that. That'd be a good Yurko video.
Yeah, we'll put that out in the morning.
Yeah.
We'll get that done.
I'd like you to do that.
Yeah. I'd like me to do it too, Carm.
Tony's on the south side. What up, Tone?
Hey, what's up, guys? You guys are awesome. Wanted to make a comment on the I Own You.
Yes.
From Aaron Rodgers. That's it.
Go ahead. What's the comment?
Oh man. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm on already. Oh, I think respectfully, I think he did it in a good way. I'm a Packer fan. Unfortunately, I think this will probably be his last year. So, I mean, it's about time, too, that Bears fans start realizing that something's got to change.
We realize it, Tony. Tony, trust me. Tony, we realize it, my man. Yeah. Don't believe you me. At least most of us do. I don't know how
Tony,
you can't.
I got good news for you. The Packers didn't agree to let Aaron Rodgers go until after 2022.
Yeah, I think he'll still be around next year.
Yeah, he'll be around.
Whether he likes it or not.
Yeah.
They're going to go through the same song and dance.
Well, I don't think this is going to be the same song and dance. I think they told him with 3 years left on his contract, including this year.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, we're going to use you till next year.
All right.
And next year, we're going to use you. After that, we'll make you a free agent. We'll let you go. You can sign with whoever you want. Or they'll trade him to exactly where he wants to go.
So to the point about Rodgers saying that he owns the Bears, it's undeniable, obviously. He clearly does.
Yes.
Since 1992, that's 60 games. That's when Brett Favre took over. The Packers... Would you care to guess what the record is?
I'm going to say 45-15. Right?
You are correct.
Because Yurko said how many games Favre had won.
Yes.
And now we know Rodgers has won another 22, right, counting the playoff games. So it's 23 and 22. So it's 45 and 15.
That's 75% of the games.
So, and here's the staggering thing. Because I remember growing up, right? The Bears had a huge advantage in the rivalry.
Oh, yeah. It was huge.
Go back to 1992. The Bears led the all-time series with the Packers. They were 80-57 with six ties.
When I was a kid, I'm a little older than Meller, so like I get. When I was a kid growing up, I mean the Packers were trash for the most part.
It was the Lynn Dickey time with James Lofton. They were trying to figure things out,
like the Magic Man years and the Lindy and Fonny.
Well, 89, they had their big year. Remember, they had their magical year where everything seemed to be working right with the Magic Man.
Yes.
So 89 was their magical year.
Mostly when I was a kid, though, up until Favre came, they were bad. They had Forrest Gregg, they had Lindy and Fonny. Like, they were bad. I mean, it wasn't much of a rivalry, really. I mean, I had heard that, of course, the Packers are our hated enemy, and the tradition goes back to the 20s, and they, you know, they're the reason the league exists. It's these two franchises in this rivalry. But when I was a kid, it was, you know, the Bears basically whooped them. And then Favre came along. I was in high school. And slowly but surely, you know, Ditka left. And from Lonnie to Jerron. And on and on. They have two Hall of Fame quarterbacks. Two of the probably 10 best quarterbacks to ever play in a 30-year period. And the Bears have won 15 games in the last 30 years. It's insane.
45.
It's stupefying, though, because they were up by 23 games in an all-time series in football. It seems almost impossible that you would ever give that type of lead up.
It's
because
insane.
You need 30 years,
30 years
of absolute atrocity against the Packers.
And that's all you need to say that why the Bears are inept here, right? I mean, that Aaron Rodgers gets to say it all he wants, whether you like it or not. Aaron Rodgers gets to go into the end zone, and he sees a Bears fan double birding him.
Yeah.
He gets to say, I own you.
I own you.
I would do the same thing.
Of course you would.
I'd say, I own you.
Yeah. All my bleeping life,
and I'd
own you.
And I'd probably drop a few expletives in there, too.
His whole life,
I own you.
The score.
It sucks, all right. Nate's in Bolingbrook. What's up, Nate?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Happy Monday. Just wanted to get your opinion on something. Being that we're, 6 games already into the season, barring from any type of injuries, do you think that, hey, is it Justin Fields here on out, or does Andy, you know, Andy come back at some point?
No, it better be Justin from here on out. What's the point?
Yeah, if there's no injury,
You know, you don't need to see anything from Andy Dalton.
Right.
Stop. We need to let Justin Fields try to get better.
Even though he's struggling, he's learning two times, three times the speed.
Right. Let him get better. Let him work through
it.
He's
got to see it, then he's got to see it on film.
Yeah.
You got to feel it, then you see it on film to kind of be able to understand and process.
Rod's in Lockport on ESPN 1000. What's up, Rod?
Hey, guys. Hey, this question for Yurko. Maybe you can explain something. When A-Rob's open in the middle of the field, waving his hands, nobody's around him because of the busted play. And then Field says he usually is running off the corner on that. That's a naked play, and my eyes aren't supposed to go there. What's he mean?
I don't know what he means.
All right.
That he's supposed to go to the corner? Yeah, no, he's running a corner out?
Yeah, they asked him about that play, and he says he's usually running off the corner on that, but that's a naked play, and my eyes aren't supposed to go there.
Fields is saying that. Rob's asking why. Rod's is saying why would
Fields... But he drifted on that play. Was he running a bootleg on that play?
I don't think he was running a bootleg.
He went on. Matt Nagy explained this in his press conference today.
Rod, thanks for the question.
Come on, the one he missed, A-Rob White.
Yes.
Okay,
yeah,
he said
that
wasn't
a bootleg.
He rolled out to the left.
Right.
Right. So was...
And doesn't make it a bootleg.
No. Well, he wasn't, but then he said the... He had pressure in his face, so he couldn't see A-Rob.
Well, I remember there was a guy there.
Right.
Right.
Here's Fields' explanation for why he missed A-Rob.
So what about the Allen Robinson was pretty open near the end of the first half? Did you not see him?
That's the naked play? Yeah, I know what play you're talking about. No, we're not. That he's used to run up the corner in that, but that's a naked play, and I just pulled up because the end was upfield, but that play is not designed to go to him.
Oh, he's saying it's supposed to be naked.
I'm just saying, why did you... Did you not see him?
That's a naked play, and my eyes aren't supposed to go there.
He's saying it was supposed to be a naked boot, right, but it wasn't. Because
I got to see the play again to be able to confer. I mean, he's telling me it's a naked play. I want to see the play.
I'll bring it up
to see if he faked the handoff and he started rolling out.
Let me bring.
And then he pulled up because he's maybe going to get it, and he had pressure in his face. So that's what he's offering. If he's saying it's a naked play, my eyes aren't supposed to go there. Listen, sometimes your eyes don't go places, but you see a wide-open receiver, and that's where you go. Hmm. But we'll see.
All right, I'll play it for you.
It could be perfectly legitimate, Carm. But, man, when wide receivers are running free in the NFL, you've got to take advantage of it.
We'll take more of your Bears calls coming up, 312-332-3776. We do have to spend a little time going around the league, too. Talk about the 6-0 Arizona Cardinals.
Talk about me benching Joe Mixon.
Yurko benching Joe Mixon.
I didn't bench him. I thought he wasn't going to play.
He
I just set my lineup at 8:30 in the morning. It had to be set.
Well, why?
I was playing golf, kid. Ryder Cup.
Well, you can go on your
Ryder
phone.
Cup,
you could set
Lincolnshire Country Club. 3-0 this weekend.
Well, that's good.
3-0. That's right.
Now, if you would have been listening to the fantasy football show, you would have heard Meller say, you know what? If Mixon's going to be out there, if he was my lineup, I would have had him in there.
Sorry, boys.
If Joe Mixon's going to play, I'd have him in there.
I was on the 50 at that point.
Oh, man. All right, it's Carmen and Yurko. We'll be right back.
Put one in the drink.
Get Carmen and Yurko pods on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Fields boots, steps away from Clark. Thought about heaving one long. Now he'll run, which we've not seen him do much. He's stopped by Rashawn Gary. Gets close to a first down. Had his eyes downfield. Did he have anything there?
I think he's got Allen Robinson here. They blew the coverage.
Oh, boy.
He's trying to find him. I'm not sure what spooked him, but they got the look they wanted on the play action kind of half boot. They were trying to take a shot. It just didn't seem like Justin Fields could find him in the midst of the pressure.
Yeah, this is Greg Olsen talking about the play we were just talking about.
So
Allen
we
Robinson.
Just watched
we're
it
We're watching it. It's definitely a naked boot. Kenny Clark kind of beats
it is.
White Hair inside and is there to make sure that...
Yeah, there's a surprise. White Hair gets beat again. Yeah. You start that refrain over and over again. So what ends up happening is Cole Kmet's his first read, but they squat on Cole Kmet.
Yeah.
Usually the second read is somebody crossing in the middle, right, from the opposite side. So you're waiting for somebody from the opposite side to come. The pressure's there right away. But he sees Robinson.
Yeah, Cole Kmet's the player in the flat. That looks like that's where he's going to go.
And then Mooney might be the second
the linebacker
guy
because
he came in.
On.
Right. And then Mooney comes in motion.
Correct.
So Mooney might either be the first and then Cole Kmet's the second. Either one. Those two guys are in their routes.
in that little route tree, that's what you're looking for. So Robinson's not the guy you're initially looking for, but he sees him.
He sees him.
After he eludes Kenny Clark, he sees him because he goes back and dips that right shoulder like he's going to chuck it downfield, and for some reason or another, he doesn't feel he's got time to do it.
I mean, he almost threw it. You can tell.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he just tucks it.
For some reason, he doesn't feel it, or he thinks he, you know, Kenny Clark is behind him and he's not going to be able to make the throw.
Wow.
He tucks it under his arm and he runs.
Yeah.
So he saw him because what he did dictates that he saw him. Yeah. He decided not to throw to him. He decided to run.
He used it as a convenient excuse afterwards to say, no, it wasn't my read.
Right.
Naked boot.
You're right. It's not your read. But you saw him and you were going to throw
Something tells me you didn't. Tom Brady sees him. Aaron Rodgers. No, I don't want to compare Justin. No, that's not
right.
fair.
That's not fair.
Justin's got a long
it's
way to go. And it's fine. I'm not like freaked out.
And he's right. It's not his initial reads. It's not. He's 100% correct there.
Yeah.
But the fact that he says he doesn't see him is not true.
He almost pulled the trigger. You can kind of see it.
He's chucking that ball down the field. He saw him. Say, I saw him too late. The pressure was coming. I saw him too late. I had to go.
He'll still be okay. I still have faith. You can't have anything but faith right now. It's too early on, and there's still some positive signs.
I think we've realized, though, that the coach has got to go.
Yeah.
This coach doesn't know what he's doing. Nagy's got to go.
It's easy for, like, as the fan in me can sit here and say, and I can be wrong. It doesn't really matter. I don't hire people for the Chicago Bears. I mean, how do you not, if you're the Bears, how do you not, like, look around the league and throw everything you can at a guy like Brian Daboll or Joe Brady?
Or the guy from Baltimore. Greg Roman.
Greg Roman. I don't know about Roman. I mean, how do you not, like... You are the Chicago Bears. Brian Daboll is going to get snatched up at some point here. Like, you moved up again. You traded more equity to move up, and now you think you've got the quarterback this time. How do you not ensure that, okay, we have to do everything we can to get the absolute best offensive mind in here that we possibly can? You thought it was Mark Trestman years ago. It wasn't. Although, actually, in Trestman's first year, that offense was great. Let's face it. He's got other issues that make him a bad coach.
Right.
I actually think he is maybe an offensive genius. He just can't be a head coach.
Right. You can't let him talk to the troops.
Exactly.
Design whatever you want, but do not talk to the troops.
Actually, is the best the Bears have ever had, sadly. You know, like, Trestman's offense was actually pretty awesome. Okay, that didn't work. Nagy, again, we got Andy's guy. We got offensive genius. No, he's not. So could I be wrong about Brian Daboll? Sure. I mean, I was willing to give them the benefit of the doubt about Nagy. But how do you not, like, line up to say, nobody else is beating us to this guy. We are getting him. He is going to be our next head coach. That's it. Like, or is it wishful thinking?
No, I think at this point,
as a Bears fan, that's what I want.
70 games in, I think you've realized what you have with this coach.
I think it's not going to work.
I think you have now understood exactly what you have with this coach. Carm, do you want to read the numbers again?
Sure.
Our audience that may not have been here early when you read these numbers stunning the offensive inefficiency is.
For the fourth time in six games this year, the Bears have failed to go over 300 yards of total offense. The Bears are dead last in the NFL, dead last, folks, in yards per game and yards per play. They're 30th, so third from the bottom, in points per game. They've been outgained by a little over 500 yards through six games. And that's sad when you have a defense that ranks in the top five in defensive DVOA.
Right. Now, the Bears' defense is 10th in points given up.
Yeah, right.
You know, top 10 defense, top third of the league.
Yeah.
And they're trying to help you win.
If you go back to the start of the 2019 season, those are the 70 games Yurko's talking about. Pretty much every counting stat and every rate statistic, all the ones that matter, whether old school or new school, deep analytics, statistics, counting stats, the Bears are bottom five in just about every single offensive category in football. That's Matt Nagy and the Chicago Bears.
Every category, you are in the bottom five. It means you are 28th or worse.
They take rank, you know, with the Jets and the Dolphins, the Bengals before
the
Burrow.
The worst teams.
Yeah, the Bengals before Burrow got
in
there.
In the NFL, offensively, is where the Bears rank.
Yeah, it's bad. By the way, Burrow, man. And I know they were playing the Lions yesterday, but Joe Burrow. He's another one. He's another one.
Do you like him?
He's going to be pretty good.
I like him.
Herbert had a clunker. That team had a clunker. It was a tough, maybe some travel spot issues for them. Maybe a tough spot after the emotional win. And, breakfast football used to be like, bettors used to love that. But that's kind of an old school thing. I think teams are more prepared for it. They fly better. They eat better. They sleep more. They know their bodies better. I don't know that breakfast football affects teams as much as it once did, but maybe just a tough scheduling spot for the Chargers. I don't know. You could probably throw that one in the garbage, but they got humbled yesterday. You know, they did by Baltimore. But, yeah. I mean, Herbert, Burrow, you look around the league and you see the young quarterbacks, you're like, oh, yeah, this is pretty good stuff that's happening in a few spots. And the Ja'Marr Chase thing is just, not only did he have 100 yards again, but, I mean, go watch the Mixon touchdown, the block. I mean, it's like this guy is...
He's figured it out quick.
And they were getting ripped.
Yeah.
You know, for where they took him and, oh, you're pandering to your quarterback. And then I don't watch much preseason football. I'm going to be honest. I just don't. But, I read and you're like, oh, he can't catch a pass and he's already this.
In case
should
have drops. In case should have drops early.
Oh, well, my Lord.
And remember, because he sat out last season due to COVID.
Well, that's true. That's a good point.
And Mallard. So part of the reason the belief was that he needed to get back into playing shape and just the rhythm of it. But did you see Field Yates' tweet yesterday?
Well, what did he say?
Bengals wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase now has 553 receiving yards through six games, the second most by any rookie in the Super Bowl era. Incredibly impressive for a man who learned how to catch in late August.
That's pretty funny. He just learned how to catch. He's good. Is the number one player? I'll take a stab at it, and I'm going to guess Randy Moss.
Yes. I think it is, yes.
Yeah, probably.
His 1998 campaign. Yeah. I don't know how many. I want to think he had 20 touchdowns.
It was like 16.
17.
Yeah,
17.
It was outrageous.
It was outrageous, yeah.
Three of those against the Jacksonville Jaguars in late December, by the way.
I do remember that.
Yeah.
Remember seeing that.
Yeah.
I remember the three against the Cowboys on Thanksgiving.
I do
three
remember that, too.
Three catches for 350-plus touchdowns.
Randy's the second-best receiver in the history of the league, right?
Yeah, behind Jerry Rice.
After Jerry.
Yeah.
Randy Moss is the second-best
receiver. Terrell Owens is number three.
He'd be up there.
Yeah.
For sure.
I'd have him there.
He'd be up there. Let's go to Tony and
Marvin Harrison.
Yeah. What's up, Tone?
Thank you for taking my call, fellas. I really appreciate it.
Sure.
I was there at the game yesterday, and people at home watching TV doesn't do it justice because all the plays, majority of plays, I would say probably three-quarters of the plays, all the receivers were doing 10 yards or 12-yard routes, and there's usually on a well offense, usually there's like different wide receivers and different levels. And I just don't understand. Like all the fans were just like, why? Like they were just yelling, like no five yard out, no 5 yard in, nothing like that.
Tony, we can see. Go ahead.
And I was wondering, people were giving a lot of baggage to Justin Fields about that play, about missing Allen Robinson. It was just pretty much he lollygagged after play action, given. He just took a lot more steps and didn't really look down the field.
Well, I don't know if he lollygagged. I wouldn't accuse him of lollygagging. I mean, I think he saw that he saw what was in front of him. Yurko just told you what happened. First of all, Kenny Clark was in pursuit, and his first read was covered. I mean,
Cole Kmet was
he wasn't going to throw the ball to Cole Kmet.
Mooney looked like he was covered.
I don't think he was lollygagging.
If there's a crosser coming from the far side of the field, he didn't have time to go ahead and kind of eyeball him because Clark was right in his face. Then when he eluded Clark, I thought he had time. And whether he likes it or not, I know who he saw was Robinson because he was dipping that back shoulder to chuck it down the field. And maybe he felt like Clark might have been behind him. Maybe he felt he was sensing some, and said, nope, I can't do it. I'm going to tuck it. I'm going to try to get a first down.
Tom's on the north side. What's up, Tom?
Hey, how you doing, Carmen? You're cool.
Good.
I'm going to state the obvious. We need offensive linemen. We need to bring 1,000. Do a tryout. And then my gem, he's going to be a stud, is Kmet.
Kmet had a better game yesterday.
By the way, looking better.
Yeah, he had a better game yesterday. Yes. I agree, Tom.
And again, the only way you can judge that is by watching.
We have been asking for that. Like, hey, Cole, let's get it going now.
Right.
And there was some separation yesterday. Right. And
nobody here has ever called him a bust. We said, you better be careful.
Yeah.
Because if there's not production, that's the words that are going to start coming out of people's mouth.
Tom, thanks
for
the call.
That's the type of game that makes you say, okay.
Yeah, it was better.
That's what we need. This is what you're looking for. So there you go. You match that one the next week with this one. and then you put a third game together. Now we're heading in a direction that's going to be very nice.
Yeah, it was, that was a step in the right direction.
Now you're looking at 68 catches in a season. Yeah. That's good.
By the way, speaking of great Bears tight end, happy birthday to Coach.
Happy birthday, Coach. How old is Coach?
82,
I was going to say 82.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to Coach Ditka. And we wish him. I was at Ditka's Oak Brook on Friday night.
How'd that go?
Fabulous.
What'd you have?
Did you have the pot roast nachos?
We did have pot roast nachos.
Yeah, the pork chop.
I did not because I've had the pork chop a million times.
Cherry chutney?
I did not.
Did you order a 4-pack for Sylvie?
I did not.
And have it delivered? No.
Okay. We had pot roast nachos. Gio ordered ribs. The waitress goes, ambitious. I looked at him. I'm like, ribs? Not, how about ordering off the kids' menu?
No, I mean,
not for nothing, champ.
Did he saw 12 of them down?
He had about 4 of them. He took the rest home. He had them in the morning.
Well, there you
only
go.
Only my Gio eats
he
ribs on Saturday morning for breakfast.
Imagine you had some ribs and eggs.
Before soccer. Yeah.
Ribs and eggs in the morning.
Soccer game coming up. What are you going to have for breakfast? I'll have the leftover ribs.
Ribs. Okay. Ribs, Dad.
Ribs.
Yeah.
If I would have went to Ditka's with my parents when I was 9 and ordered ribs, I think my mom would have smacked me in the back of the head.
What would your mom let you order at 9?
At 9?
Yeah, at 9 if you went to
whatever
a restaurant.
Whatever was on the kids' menu.
I never went to a restaurant when I was a kid.
Ribs?
My mom and dad looked at you. What are you going to a restaurant where you can't eat at home? What's wrong with you?
Right. My grandpa used to say that.
Everybody made every meal.
I know.
Nobody went to restaurants.
And you're older. Like your parents are more my grandparents' age or thereabouts, so you're right. My grandpa would be like, what are we going out for? He wouldn't go out anywhere. We went for ribs once a year. We'd go to Carson's. We'd come downtown.
Yep.
Remember the old Carson's on Ontario? What was it? On Ontario there, right?
Right. West. You know, just west of the west.
Like Wells
right
in
there.
Ontario.
Yes, Wells.
We'd come downtown once a year.
Yeah.
And you'd go to, and that was a treat. You'd go to Carson's. You'd get ribs at Carson's. That was a big deal. And then you could order ribs. Any other
That's
time.
That's it. No, you ain't ordering ribs.
Ribs.
What's wrong with you, kid?
312-332.
You guys got ribs. You guys got ribs once a year.
Yeah,
you got ribs once a year. It was a big deal.
Went to a restaurant as a kid. I go, who are you, Rockefeller? Bill Gates now, Jeff Bezos.
Now you got to say Jeff Bezos.
I got to say Bezos and Gates.
More of your Bears calls coming up.
And
I got to tell you how we almost got murked yesterday. That's next.
All right.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Carmen and Yurko with you at home or in your office.
Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
We're going to get back out to the phones in a minute. It's Carmen and Yurko. Oh, by the way, hey, Merck, do me a favor. Can you throw up the address for Waddle and Sylvie's remote today? The boys are out today with Miller Lite in Lakeview. Throw that address up real quick, Merck. I just want to make sure everybody knows.
Yeah, you got it, Carm.
Thanks, buddy.
It's funny. You went to Merck, and I thought you were going to say, by the way, Merck, never comment on a game that I bet
on. Well, I'm going to get to him. I mean, I'm getting to him right here. He's going on the tee right now. Now, he's off the hook.
Carm, it's 3558 North Lincoln Avenue.
Thanks, Yurk.
I'm here for you.
Say it again.
It's 3458. 3458 Lincoln Avenue.
Lincoln Avenue. And the name of the establishment is
Finley Dunn's.
Finley Dunn's.
Finley Dunn's.
On Lincoln Avenue with Miller Lite. So go see Waddle and Sylvie today, 2 to 6, as they broadcast live.
6 miles from here, I'll have you know.
Yeah, it's about
six miles from
here. Yeah. So that's where the boys are going to be today. Here's Merkin yesterday. Now, you know, I give out two best plays on the odds couple. We usually give out two or three.
Right.
The best plays. The ones that here. Take your full unit, whatever it is, bet these games.
Yeah.
I'm 13-4 in the best plays this year.
You have done very well this year, Carl.
So, yes. Mike and I have continued to make money for all of our listeners. You should listen to the odds couple every week on ESPN 1000. Download the podcast every Friday on the ESPN Chicago app. Mike gave out Arizona. Mike gave out Baltimore. I had Oklahoma State. They not only covered but won. And one of my best plays, and I had an excellent weekend, Yurko. You'll be happy to know. I know you're happy.
I'm always happy.
But I had an outstanding weekend. One of my best plays was Minnesota minus one. So sure enough, on the group text, there's like 6 minutes to go in the game. Now, yeah, it's a 28-20 game. Minnesota's up.
Right.
The text comes in from Randy Merkin. Boy, Carm, great call on the Vikings. Good job. And I immediately fired back. I'm like, are you doing, I mean, are you being an a-hole?
Why? Why would you text?
And he goes, oh, I thought it was over. I said, over? Boy. There's 6 minutes left. 5 minutes left. I said, what?
He jinxed you.
So what happens? I mean, this guy is mush. On cue, they miss a kick. They're trying to make it an 8-point lead to an 11-point lead, right?
Right.
Miss a kick.
Miss a kick.
I think. Now, if I'm remembering the sequence of events correctly, I think Minnesota actually did get a stop there, got the ball back. They do nothing with it. Now they punt it away. They punt it down to about the 2-yard line.
Right.
Carolina starts to drive it 2. Down a touchdown and a 2-point conversion.
Right. Down eight, Carmen.
They start move. They start matriculating down the field, as Hank Stram would say.
He did.
They get into a fourth and like 17. Guess what Sam Darnold does? Throws a friggin' P over the middle. Complete. Still on the field.
Yeah.
And I am, me and Pat Boyle, because Boyle was on the Vikings,
sure,
too.
Patty Boyle, peanut
and,
butter.
And he's a big Cousins guy because of Spartan, you know, East Lansing.
Right.
I mean, we're letting Merck have it. I mean, letting him have it. And Merck's like, oh, yeah, like, I have something to do with the game. I said, it doesn't matter.
But why'd you mention anything?
Now they go all the way down. They go 98 yards. They go down the field.
Scored a touchdown.
They scored a touchdown.
And then what?
Then they do the shovel pass that I must have seen four times yesterday for successful two-point
conversion. Meanwhile, 2 weeks ago, you were called for the banishment of the shovel pass.
It must have happened four times yesterday for a successful try. Then they throw the two-point. Then they get the two-point conversion, and I'm like, Merkin. And Boyle's even more mad than I am.
Right.
He's mush. I can't get, tell him not to come to work tomorrow. I can't believe it. He's costing us money. I said, Merk, all I'm going to say is they better win this game. He goes, oh, if they don't, I'll bring some cookies for you tomorrow. I don't want your cookies.
Nobody wants your stale cookies.
I don't want your cookies.
From like a party from 10 years ago.
Now, Merk is off the hook because the Vikings did get the great touchdown to KJ Osborne to win the game. And they did cover the minus one. So,
let me just say something.
Like, I wasn't paying attention to the game,
and I saw it was 28-20, and I said, I thought there was 45 seconds left. I swear to God, it was 4 minutes and 45 seconds, okay? So I sent a text out. I said, Carm, great call. And then Carm's like, what are you doing? Then Boyle ripped me. And then, when they tie, I'm not going to say what Carmen called me, okay?
I know what he called you.
But it was out of line. It was out of line.
Was appropriate.
I had no control over the game,
I don't even know. I do remember what I called you.
You said.
You all right, Spider?
No, you said you're a real bleak for doing that, Merk.
I missed a three-team money line parlay when the New England lost to Dallas.
Oh, God. That was,
I had Arizona was in the books.
You had straight money line, not even a cover?
Straight money line, Carm.
Boy, the pick
Arizona
six.
Arizona was in. Vegas was in.
The pick six.
It was an afternoon play.
Yeah.
I was at your joint over in Crestwood.
Yeah, you were at the points bet.
Visiting
Paige
Sporanic, who's smitten with me. And I'm like, don't spend too much time with me because I don't want the bad things.
Yurko's got the Kavorka.
Yeah, exactly. Kavorka. Yeah, she's only human.
The sign of the beast.
Yeah.
But either way, I'm over there. All I need, it goes to overtime, right?
I know.
Even if, just score. That's all I needed, a field goal to score. And it didn't happen.
All right, and Merk, I'll admit, I was a little, I was pretty hot. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, Merk.
No. It's okay, because he does that all the time.
No, I don't.
You think Eddie Mush, when they didn't want the kid looking at
Remember?
Him? Yeah. Remember when he didn't want him looking there playing the dice game?
No, that was Frankie Coffee Cakes.
He didn't want him looking at his face because he's getting bad tidings. And they made him go sit in the bathroom.
They did. They said, put him in the bathroom. JoJo the Whale.
And then they put the other guy in the bathroom. Put the other guy in the bathroom, JoJo. Too. Yeah.
By the way, just a quick programming update. I just spoke with Candace Parker.
Oh, yeah?
She's having breakfast. And I tried. She just said, I can't do it now, but she's going to come out later this afternoon. So she's coming. Sorry, Carm, I know you want
to. All right. That would have been nice.
3 o'clock, she's coming out with Waddle and Sylvie.
We're two neighborville kids.
I tried. She said, I absolutely can't do it now. I'm having breakfast.
Right. For other shows? Yeah, would you
well,
come for tomorrow
to
morning?
So she'll be on with Waddle and Sylvie
Jeez.
Later.
Jeez. Wait a minute. Whose producer is he? Is he ours?
Well, I get it. If she's having
producer
breakfast.
For everybody else in the world?
Listen, you look out for the state.
I look back over my shoulder. The guy's gone for 45 minutes today.
He's rolling on Matt
Nagy. He's up having a cup of coffee. I don't know what's going on. Was he baking the cookies he's going to deliver to me today?
I don't know. But
I mean, Merk, what's going on?
I was maybe a little harsh, Merk. I was mad. I was on tilt. I couldn't believe it. I didn't want the Viking. And I really hate it when I'm on a game that then I gave out on the odds couple. That's what really pisses me off. Mike and I don't like to lose for the listeners. Like, it drives me nuts. It kind of eats at me. So, and the, you know, we're on such a good run. I had already run the OK State game. I said, boy, if they can cover this, I'll have another perfect week, 13-4. So I was hot, Merk. I'm sorry. But
okay.
I
accept the apology.
Very good. Yeah, right. By the way, we should mention the Cowboys. I mean, geez, that offense is... Well, I mean, when was the last time a team went into Foxborough and put up almost 600 yards on Bill Belichick, right? I mean, they had over 500 yards of offense, didn't they?
Long time, Carm.
They're unbelievable. Like, they got weapons and Dak. So Kyler's the favorite in Vegas, and I would agree with that, right?
Well, don't go out handing awards.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying, who's in the conversation? Kyler? Oh.
It's time for another premature.
Oh, boy.
Award presentation by Randy Merk.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Merk.
Careful, Merk.
Oh, my God.
You'll blow your soon.
The occasional Merkin.
Randy Merkin's premature award presentation. Brought to you by
nobody.
So you got Kyler's the front runner.
Yeah.
And a long way to go. Then who? Josh Allen, Dak, Lamar Jackson? Does that sound right?
Yes.
Sounds right.
Yes.
But, you know, Herbert. Well, Herbert struggled yesterday.
I think Lamar Jackson's kind of, he had two interceptions yesterday. He was a bad.
I know, but man, they're 5-1 now.
Wow.
I still think a long shot, you can probably get him 18-21, is Patrick Mahomes.
Mahomie? Yeah. Just,
if that team gets hot, that defense figures it out a little bit.
I don't know if the defense is going to figure it out, but he might just.
You're six games in.
Listen, at this point last year, I said Russell Wilson was minus last year at this point.
Yeah, but I don't know. That's more of a, that's a deep long shot.
Russell Wilson didn't win the
Will. Just remember, let me give you this little tidbit, okay?
Oh,
the year the Bears lost the Super Bowl to the Colts, the Colts' defense was hot garbage the first half of the year. Bob Sanders came back, Tony Dungy figured some things out, and they won the Super Bowl.
They don't have Tony Dungy on that staff. Okay. I don't know. They got Steve Spagnuolo. I don't know. That defense is bad. Even yesterday in the first half. Now, they did pitch a shutout in the second half. George is in River Grove on ESPN 1000. What's up, George?
Gentlemen, how are you?
Great. How you doing, buddy?
Not a clue. So, anyway, I'm a football player. Used to be when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at this game yesterday. And that number 17 for Green Bay, he caught that long pass. And I'm looking at the play. I'm saying, who is the defensive coach for this squad?
Who is that guy? Sean Desai.
Who is the new home, number one? And any defensive cornerback that plays for the Bears, he needs a new home too. When you're playing out there on the corner, okay? Every time I watch, the cornerback is straight up, heads up with the defender, and then he backs up. And when you do that, you allow the receiver to come at you, fake you one way, and you go the other way. When I was playing this game, and I was playing cornerback, when I'm out there with the receiver, I know he wants to come to my inside, so I overplay him to the inside. I'm 3 feet off of him, and I'm a sheepdog, and he's a sheep. I'm trying to herd him where I want him to go.
How?
If you play him heads up, you give him, he's gonna slant on you. If you play him to the inside and take the slant away and push him to the outside, get him off his rhythm, out of his pattern, then you have a much greater shot of fouling up the play at some point in time. When these guys are just pitiful.
You need to throw your hat in the ring when Brian Daboll comes.
I just need these guys to smarten up.
Right.
George,
you
know, thanks,
use
buddy.
Better technique is George, what he's thanks. Asking.
I actually think Sean Desai's done a nice job this year, to be honest.
Well, the Bears defense is still a little bit resurgent.
Yeah.
You know, we're back to trying to score 20 points a game, though.
That's the issue. They scored 14 points.
Yeah, so. That's the dilemma.
Georgie, thanks, buddy. We'll grab a few more Bears calls before we get out of here, all right? So sit tight. 312-332-3776. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Follow at Carmen DeFalco and at Yurko64 on Twitter.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Let's grab some calls. Jerry's got a question for Yurko. We're talking Bears. Jerry's on the southwest side. What up, Jerry?
Hey, guys. So, yeah, I mean, it's for both of you, but Yurko, you're a former player. So I'm just surprised I've heard anyone say anything about Rodgers saying I instead of we. It's like, I own you. It's not my team owns you. It's I. He's been separating himself from his team all year. Is he ever going to get anything? Is anything going to come and bite him about that and that attitude? I don't know. Probably not, but I just wanted to ask.
All right.
Well, everything he did in the offseason was selfish.
Do you think it's a problem that he says, I own you instead of, you know, we? I mean, the guy's giving him the bird. I mean, I kind of get it.
I think everything he did in the offseason didn't put the team first, did it?
No.
He was worried about himself. That's all he cared about.
And they're still 5-1.
And guess whose team was more than happy to get him back?
Yeah.
So I guess at this point in his career and his life, he's become an I guy.
Jerry, thanks.
Is Green Bay going to complain? I don't think Green Bay complains. When you lose, I guess you find things to complain about the other team and about their star player. But would it be a problem if I was his teammate that he refers to, you know, it's I all the time? A little bit, but guess what? He's my quarterback, and he's going to help me win. I don't care.
Yeah. Eddie's on the north side. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Okay. After watching Justin Fields, I know now why Ohio State quarterback has never put out an elite quarterback in the NFL. And you mentioned Burrow earlier. When Haskins was named the starter at Ohio State, he took off to Louisiana. He himself, Justin Fields, caused the Bears not to win that game. That the wide open receiver, the sacks he took that took him back out of field goal range, just a bunch of stuff that was going on. And please, he's got to somehow learn how to fall down or tumble down.
Yurko agrees with you on that, Eddie. I don't think the other parts, but Yurko agrees with you on the last part.
He doesn't know when to slide. He doesn't know when to dive. He's indecisive with both and ends up just going down awkwardly at times.
He does.
Secondly, every young quarterback gets a break for an extended period of time until you have to make a decision on him.
Eddie, don't make a definitive declaration yet.
They'll have to make a decision on him after year three. Until then, he's learning.
Give it a little
learning.
Time. Yeah.
Now, you play 32 games in the NFL or 34 games now, and if you can't start figuring it out, you start scratching your head and say, will he ever
He's played four games.
So it's early.
Let's take it easy. James is in Crest Hill. What's up, James?
Hey, guys. I'm calling in. Thanks for taking my call. Basically, my mommy is pissed, guys. She watched the game. She's pissed. I mean, what people keep calling in. They want a new quarterback. They want a new GM. They want a new coach. It's like the McCaskies have been here for 30 years after George Halas passed away. Rest his soul.
40.
He hired Ditka. 40 years. He hired Ditka, and he hired Buddy Ryan. Then the first coach who became GM was Dave Wannstedt. Just Google it all. It's like, when do the fans and the media start pushing the family out? I mean, I hope
James, what do you think we're going to do, push the family out?
I've talked about this.
Well, we have. But Yurko has. But again, okay.
It won't change until the family leaves.
But they're not leaving.
They sell. And then he goes, well, that's not the answer. They can't. Boy, I wish they would. I wish they would.
Okay, but they're
Schleprock, Carm. You know who Schleprock was?
Yes. Yeah, listen,
and
I'm
Glum
not,
from Gulliver's Travels.
I'm not.
We're never gonna make it. They're terrible.
I'm not disagreeing, and in spirit, I know what everybody's saying. I feel the same way. How many times have you heard me say the last vestige of any football knowledge within that family was gone when Muggsy died? That was it. It's over. Yeah. Well, I've acknowledged that, but
did Muggsy precede Papa Bear?
No, Muggsy passed before the old man.
Yeah,
Muggsy died in the late 70s.
So the last one to die was Papa
Bear. Okay, well, you know what I mean.
The
one that was supposed to take over died.
Died.
Young, unfortunately.
Yes.
The son died young. And that's it. But what are we supposed to do? When is the media going to force them to sell? What are you talking about? We can't force them to sell. What would you like us to do? We can't force the McCaskies to sell the team.
Yeah.
They are the family of the founder of the league. They are the charter franchise of the league. We can't force them to sell. What am I supposed to do? I mean, one time we thought we would do a hostile takeover? Remember we said, I don't even know what it is, but let's do a hostile takeover of the Bears. Can we do that?
Michael Douglas from Wall Street, Gordon Gekko.
Right.
Help us do this.
Can we do a hostile takeover?
Yeah.
Hey, any businessmen out there know? Can we do a hostile takeover of the Bears? I don't know how that works, but I didn't go to business school.
Our guy out here,
he doesn't know either. He's like, I don't know.
Nobody knows.
Thank you for listening, calling, and participating in today's show. Go see Waddle and Sylvie today. We told you about that. Thanks to Midway Jeff Meller and Randy Merkin. You're not mush today, Merk. It was close, but you're not, buddy. You're up.
Okay, I'm glad on good terms again.
I love you, buddy. Even when I'm mad at you, I still love you, pal. I was pretty mad around 3 o'clock yesterday. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, this guy.
He was not happy.
He's killing
him
me.
And Boyle.
And Boyle was so mad. But we won. We'll see you tomorrow. Pam Oliver's got the final word.
Carmen and Yurko present today's final word.
Because you had to be a big shot, didn't you? You had to.
Today's final word on Carmen and Yurko.
Wasn't more than 3 weeks ago that Bears head coach Matt Nagy told us how much he loved calling plays, but since then he has given up that duty. He also told us that just the other day he has been awesome and that he is in a very good place as a head coach.
That was The Final Word on Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.